Everyone's drunk. Drunk, 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 drunk. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's a Geeky Boners episode. We talk about the Fringe Festival, maybe some video games, and some geeky TV shows. Come on, let us expose our boners.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
Hello, I'm Tim Wick.
And today is a Geeky Boners episode.
Boing. Oh, that was bad.
That was a really bad
Boing.
One.
Boing.
Slide whistle
wow.
up.
That was a weird boing.
That was the sound of my dick hitting the table.
Sounds legit.
Oh, my God. Always our opportunity to be juveniles. Yay.
We're going
to
talk about all the geeky stuff that has us rock hard and ready.
So hard.
Tim, what is your boner?
Well, the Fringe Festival just started, my show, The Sound of Footloose, is in the Fringe Festival, and I'm pretty excited about that. Woo! Because, we're recording this before the show opens, so I can't tell you how it did. So I hope by now, when you're listening to the show, that the show has done exceptionally well.
And all five-star reviews.
All five, that will never happen.
Or else.
All five-star reviews, or we're coming for you, Fringe.
But the reason it's my boner is this was a really hard show for me to write. It took me a lot longer to write than a show usually does.
Wow.
I grappled with it for a really long time, and it feels like it's coming out pretty well. Almost, and everybody in the cast thinks the script is hilarious, so I guess that's something.
Yeah, I read the script. I read an early, I don't know where it's at, but I read an early version, and it's very funny. It really does marry both movies quite well.
I heard a song from it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, probably several times.
Yes, many times.
I've got a new version that I can send you.
With it's a song with about goats.
With a girl voice singing the lead. So.
Oh, not you and Chad singing.
Yeah, now it's Sue's. The cast is really amazing. There are a bunch of people that I haven't worked with before, and they've all been just terrific people. And I lost my regular director, and Bill Steitler stepped in. And
a bunch of people that don't know
better.
Friend of the show, Bill Steitler, has stepped in, and he has been...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Great.
You must mean Jill Steitler. I believe his name
is
Jill now.
Yeah.
See, he works at Whole Foods, and everyone in his Whole Foods cheese department, their name starts with J. So when he started, they told him his name had to be Jill. So he's Jill Steitler now.
Yeah.
So Jill Steitler.
Everyone knows Whole Foods holds ultimate sway over white people. So his name is Jill.
Yeah. Yep.
Go find him at the Whole Foods, Jill. Anyway, yeah. Our director, Jill Steitler.
Put it in the program.
Oh, that'll be so awesome.
Do a strike through the B and then a J underneath it, like printed.
Well, he's
that
making
be...
the program. I don't know why.
Damn it, Jill.
We'll have to have his wife hack his computer or something.
Oh, good idea. We got started later and I got the show written later. But it really feels like it's coming together to be really funny. And
how's
really
the cast memorization?
Show.
Like, is it,
they've
is
all got the,
well?
They've got the script down.
Beautiful.
They've got the script down, and I've got Dawn Krasnowski, who's kind of one of my, I don't know, I call her kind of my muse. She ends up in a lot of my shows, and she's pretty awesome.
She does end up in a lot of your shows. That's true.
And she's pretty awesome.
She's amazing.
She is. She's stellar. And because, you know, we had Dawn, we actually have both of her nieces in the show, too.
Awesome.
And they're really good. Her niece, Kezia, is playing the lead and is fantastic.
How old is she?
19.
Perfect.
And then her other niece, Roro, is 15. And, oh, my God, as a dancer, she's fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome.
When you guys watch the show, just watch her facial expressions.
But as a person,
dancers.
She's a monster? As a dancer, she's great, but
her
politics are really abhorrible.
We don't talk politics. She's only 15. I don't want to... Anyway, no. See, the cast has... And then Angela Fox, who is a friend of Dawn's and is a dance teacher.
And a brand new Fearless member.
Yeah, brand new Fearless member, and she's been great. Steve Luton Jr. isn't somebody that Duck knew. Duck Washington's also in the... in the show, and Steve Luton Jr. is a friend of his, and we were looking for another guy, and he's like, well, I know this guy.
So do you guys do auditions, or do you just bring people in? I hate to use the word nepotism pejorative. I'm not using it pejoratively, but that's what it is. Like, are you bringing people in?
It's all a foot in the door.
Yeah. Is it just people? Because I know most Fringe shows do auditions, but not all.
The Fringe actually has, like, a unified audition. Yep. So the thing was, I knew I wanted Dawn for the Mother Superior. When I wrote the show, I was like, okay, this is the part that I know I want to have Dawn do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to the Unifieds and tried to get some people through that. Kezia was there. We had an idea that we wanted Kezia for Maria, but we wanted to watch her audition first.
Mm-hmm.
So Kezia and Roro were both there. And so from that audition, we cast Kezia and Roro.
Okay.
And then we were trying to figure out how to fill out the rest of the cast. We actually set up another set of auditions, but a whole bunch of crap went that audition didn't happen. At the same time, Duck was like, I don't have anything to do for Fringe. Does anybody need anybody in their show? And I'm like, well, shit, Duck's a really good actor.
Yeah, he's amazing.
And he also can dance. So I'm like, all right, he's got the skills. We don't know what he's going to do yet, but let's just snag him.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a case of we needed some more actors, and we kind of put the call out to the cast, said, is there anybody you know? Another Jen Jensen is in the show, and she's a friend of Wendy's, and Wendy was like, I think she'll be good for this role, and Wendy's doing her choreography, so mm-hmm. we went and said, yeah.
Did Wendy do the choreography for Top Gun, the musical?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was really well done.
And I'm excited.
I'm excited to see this show a lot.
The choreography in this show is hilarious.
It's got Nazis, too, right?
There's Nazis. There's Nazis, and there's nuns.
Because it's Footloose plus The Sound of Music.
Yes.
It's a mashup.
Yeah, it is
a
mashup.
In case people don't understand what the sound of Footloose is.
It's The Sound of Footloose, the not musical, so there is no singing. There is dancing.
There's no singing, but there's dancing to music?
There's dancing to music.
So did Susie pre-record the songs that are being done? All right.
Actually, Chad sings one, I sing one, and Susie sings one.
Okay.
But all the music that was written for the show is pre-recorded, and it's only dance.
So interesting.
It is a dancical, which
makes
is a thing.
Yeah, it makes it easier for the tech, too. It's harder to sing and dance at the same time. That is very difficult.
And you don't have to worry about being mic'd for sound or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah.
Depending on where you're... Where are you... Where's your place that you're... What's your venue?
We're at The Thrust in Rarig Center. In Rarig Center. So
it works
for a Boners episode.
It does.
I'm going to pull up the
Thrust in the Rarig. When we were at the Rarig for Stop Talking, we were on the
Experimental.
Experimental. Yeah.
Is the Thrust bigger than that area?
Yeah, it's much bigger.
Oh,
it's
cool.
A really big...
That was a decent sized stage, really. I mean, it wasn't a huge house, but how many does your house seat, do you know?
It's either the second biggest or the biggest venue. It can seat up to 400.
Fantastic.
Now, I'm not saying we'll get that many. They consider it a sellout if you sell out the main floor, which is like 200 seats. But then there's a balcony with a fuck ton more seats.
That's awesome.
Nobody ever sells out the balcony, except mm-hmm. one company did it once, and I hate them. But I'm going to say, if you're listening to this episode right now and you listen to it before 7 p.m., we have our show at 7 p.m. Tuesday night, and then Wednesday night at 8:30, and then Saturday at 7 p.m.
And so, fingers crossed for the favorite.
We might
or whatever,
have the encore on Sunday night.
You got it last year.
We did get it last year.
And that's the show we actually got to see. We were very excited you got the encore, because we weren't going to be able to see it otherwise. So that was really great.
I hope we get the encore, but I will be honest and say I doubt that we will. Because there was a show that was super popular 2 years ago, which was a Shelley Bachberg musical, which was making fun of Michelle Bachman.
Mm-hmm.
And it sold shit tons of seats. And it is in. They wrote a sequel to that show, and it's in the same venue.
But that doesn't.
No,
you know what? I'm just saying. Michelle Bachman's kind of an old story.
Yeah.
No offense to the Bachman 2 musical, but I think that you have a shot. I don't think you should. So, don't.
I'm not saying it's
short.
Not going to happen. I'm saying if you're listening to the podcast and you're like,
come
how can
shows.
I help them? Get an encore. You should come to our show.
Absolutely.
So, that's my boner.
Molly, what's your boner?
I have a very throbbing boner, but real quick, I do want to say that, just because I'm going to do this for Tim, because he's terrible at self-promotion, haha. You guys should, just real quick, like, if you haven't kickstarted the Vermin thing, you should do that, because it's probably close to ending at this point.
Yeah, I think by the time this goes up, we'll have about a little less than a week left.
Yeah, so if you haven't done it, do it, and, you know, don't wait till the last minute, because we don't need Tim to have an ulcer.
As of this time of recording... We had put two guest spots on there for at a certain donation level.
There's one left.
At the time of recording.
Yep, so. If you want to be a guest on Geeks Without God, and Tim has promised that we will figure out Skype.
Yeah.
We'll figure out how to do
If how
you
want to
be the person
recording.
That forces us to take a technological leap forward, you can do that.
So let me describe my erection to you.
Please.
All right.
Use a lot of adjectives.
I will. So it grows depending on the time.
Mm-hmm.
It starts small, it gets big, it gets small again when necessary. Sometimes it needs to fit into little spaces, so it's little, and sometimes it needs to be tall to reach tall spaces. My boner is for Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
I almost guessed Ant-Man.
Not Ant-Man. Good close guess. No, the reason my boner's not Ant-Man is, just so you guys know, for you watching at home, listening, whatever, if you have 3 drinks in 2 hours, and then you add 3D to that, you will get 4 sessions of vomiting in the movie theater bathroom.
At least if you're Molly, that'll happen.
If you're me, that will happen. So, I get very easily car sick, so I don't really know what happened at Ant-Man. But I do know Ocarina of Time. It just arrived for me yesterday. I wanted to buy Ocarina of Time. And Nick had this birthday coupon from GameStop and was very sweet and was like, you can use my birthday coupon, 20% off a pre-owned game, to get Ocarina of Time. And I'm like, that's awesome. We went to GameStop and they didn't have it. We called every GameStop and one had it. And I was on my way there in Shakopee and they're like, oh, it's on hold for someone else. And then someone bought it and you can't find it anywhere because it is the best Zelda game
used,
ever.
Used, it's like $50.
It's $50 used. That's crazy.
That's how crazy
it's crazy.
Popular it is.
So I found it on Amazon new for $48 or whatever, and
I bought it.
And it arrived, and I opened it up, and the cartridge was missing.
What?
I got an empty box.
What?
You got it shipped to your work.
I paid for one day shipping, had it shipped to my work, was so excited, opened it up.
You delayed your lunch break until it arrived.
Delayed my lunch break, opened it, no cartridge.
Oh, that is the worst.
Managed not to cry, but Amazon took care of me, and they shipped another one out right away.
Amazon's good about that.
Luckily, the seller was fulfilled by Amazon. So I got it on yesterday, Monday, and I started playing it, and it's everything I remember. It's every awesome thing I remember from the Ocarina of Time for the GameCube, which is... I mean, it's up there with Fable 2 for my favorite video games of all time.
So, they redid a little bit of it for the 3DS.
Yeah, mostly they just reprogrammed it so it fit the 3DS controls and the touchscreen interface that the 3DS has. It's not much different
There's some content that was only released in a special edition GameCube version of Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask. That had some B content that got cut from the game that I think is in this version as well.
Also, not purposefully, my version can be played in English or French because I believe it was originally sold in Quebec. So it's on the back of the game. It's like amazing marketing text. You know, like you and Link go on adventures. Then it's like all of us from Disney is all of us. Like what?
Yeah, the French has gotten really good lately.
Thank you.
I had like the original gold cartridge Legend of Zelda.
Oh, sure.
Back on
the original NES.
So Zelda's, I've always been, I don't even give a, every single Zelda game I think is just great. I love Zelda.
I liked Zelda okay until Ocarina of Time. And that was when it was like first love, like amazing, mind blowing, like the first time that you, the first time you got on stage or whatever it was that like you were like, I gotta do this forever. It's just that good. And I will say that back when I was trying to find the game and we couldn't find it in stores, I gave in and was like, fine, because there's like 80 copies of Majora's Mask.
There's
I'm like,
a reason.
Fine, I'll buy Majora's Mask. I hated it when it came out. Maybe it'll be good. Maybe I am older and wiser now and I understand why Majora's Mask is better. And it sucks. It's a fucking garbage piece of shit game. I don't understand why anyone could enjoy it. You play the same 3 days over and over and over. Because time resets, it's garbage. So Ocarina of Time is amazing. And I don't remember it. It's been, I think the last time I played that on the GameCube was the year 2000. So I don't really remember it enough. Where I'm like, oh, I know what I do here, you know, and it's very cool. This is how much I love that game. One of the main monsters that you fight that are like low level monsters are called Skulltulas. They are tarantulas with skulls on their backs.
Yeah.
And And
they drop down,
and if you're climbing up vines and they're on, because there's three kinds. There's the kind that drop down, there's the walls chillas, which are like attached to walls, and then there's the golden skull chillas. If you're climbing up vines and the wall chilla is like up and to the left of you, and it sees you, it goes, it jumps, and then it shoots towards you. And it is so scary, and that's how much I love this game. I'm like, ah!
You're not a spider person.
I am not a spider person.
You're the least spider person I've ever known.
Spider-Man, fuck yourself. Shoot him quickly. But, if you haven't played it and you have the Scratch, Ocarina of Time for the 3DS is amazing. All you youngins who maybe were, I don't know, like babies in 1999, you should play it. Do we have a lot of young listeners?
I don't know. My son, Alex, he was born in 1999, so...
Alex, you should play Ocarina of Time.
He actually
for the 3DS.
Already has.
Of course he has.
He's played all of these.
What am I thinking? that is my throbbing erection for a classic NES game. Nick, what's your boner?
Well,
may we see it?
Yeah, my boner. Let me show it to you. Let me show you my boner.
Boners, I heard you like.
Molly and I have been catching up on The Flash, the first season that's out, and and The Arrow, or just Arrow, I suppose. And we're catching up in Arrow, and it was like, oh, wait, shit, this is crossing over with Flash. We gotta go back. And then we'd watch like 4 or 5 episodes of Flash, and that would catch up with Arrow, and it'd be like, oh, shit, wait, switch back. So we are done with both.
Yep. We're current.
And we finished...
Not like we're done. Like, fuck these shows.
Yeah. We finished just as all the San Diego Comic-Con stuff was coming out with new trailers and new information.
I haven't watched that stuff yet.
Are you current on the shows, though?
I am current on the shows. Yeah.
So,
spoilers!
So some spoilers here. I thought... I love Flash. That's my favorite of the two shows.
Agreed.
I think.
I really liked Flash.
That kid who plays Barry Allen's amazing.
He's perfect. So good.
He's perfect.
He's the perfect Flash.
And the, like, melodrama, relationship-y, the Smallville shit. Let's just call the Smallville shit.
Yeah,
the Smallville shit is, like, not nearly as present in the second half.
Yeah, it evens out.
That said, in Arrow, I mean, I was thrilled when, towards the end of the third season... When when Oliver Queen tells his sister Thea that he finally comes clean, and he's like, "I'm the Arrow," and she goes, "Aw, man, I'm such an asshole. Every time you were late or every time you missed a commitment, you were saving someone's life, and I was mad at you.
I was so shitty to you.
I'm a dick." And she immediately accepted it, and there was no drama, and they just moved on.
I understand why you lied, because you were saving people and you couldn't have revealed yourself.
It's too often, it's such a overused trope when someone reveals their secret identity and they're like, "How could you have lied to me?"
Oh, you mean the Iris factor?
Right.
Yeah. Iris does that in Flash. The thing is, though, I mean, you got to be fair that, I mean, the melodrama relationship stuff is pretty common in comics. It's not like it's not like it came from Smallville. Anybody who's read Spider-Man, I realize you haven't read Spider-Man, Molly, but anybody who's read Spider-Man has this experience.
It's funny.
But it's not just drama. It's like The Job and the...
It's the CW drama is the thing.
Yeah.
And it's funny you should mention Spider-Man, because I actually said, wow, this version of The Flash, like in this show, is very much DC's Peter Parker.
He's a
teenager who's got a crush on a childhood, whatever, and science.
He's a science nerd.
Everyone underestimates him. He looks younger than he is. You know, he's best friends with the cops.
Yeah.
Some
of the cool stuff that there's a second spin-off series, Legends of Tomorrow.
I can't remember.
Legends of Tomorrow.
Hulk.
And it's got Firestorm.
Firestorm and
White Canary.
White Canary.
There's some fucking shit with Sarah going on.
A Hawk Girl.
Lazarus Pit shit.
A Rex shit. The time traveler. I'm prepared to talk about Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't
Rex
remember.
Hunter or something.
Yeah.
And Captain Cold, who he steals the show every episode.
Because he's such an asshole, but
he's
charming. He's a
charming.
Yeah. His sister's great too.
Every episode he is in, I think he kind of steals the show. Yeah. They're talking about getting the guy that played John Constantine in the Hellblazer show, which I haven't seen any of, to come and guest star as the same character in the fourth season, because the third season of Arrow was kind of themed identity.
Sure.
And that makes sense.
Sure.
Who am I? Am I Oliver Queen?
Am I the Arrow? Arabic for the Arrow? Am I? Right. And at the end, he decides, fuck it all. I'm Oliver Queen. I'm going to figure out what that means. And the next season's theme is magic and mystery.
Ooh.
And so they're going to hopefully be getting into some of the supernatural DC characters, and who better to have on like a gritty street show that's going to do magic than Zatanna. I mean John Constantine. Sorry. I'm sure she'll be in it too, because she's, you can get away with her fairly low budget. Pardon me.
Also, she's a hot lady, and it's always good to bring a hot lady, more hot lady characters.
They got a lot of hot ladies on Arrow already. They do. Really.
At the end of Flash, the classic Jay Garrick Flash helmet, like the Golden Age Flash, spins out of that time portal and falls on the ground. Well, they've announced that they've confirmed that Jay Garrick will be the original Flash, will be in the next season of Flash.
Oh, awesome.
I'm really interested to see how they do that. They also announced that Wally West will be in it. He's Kid Flash.
Yeah.
And then they said that one of the villains is going to be Professor Zoom. But Professor Zoom is Eobard Thawne.
Oh, interesting.
But they've already done Eobard Thawne.
Maybe they're divorcing
them. They're probably divorcing them.
Or it could be, because there's time travel hijinks, it could be like someone else is.
I keep wondering if they're going to bring back. I'm forgetting his name. The professor who was taken over by the time.
Wells.
Wells.
The actual Wells. I keep wondering if he's going to come back.
They could have like an Eobard Thawne. Eobard Thawne from like, I'm the Eobard Thawne from just before I decided to come over here and be a fucking asshole.
But his ancestor is dead, so presumably he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And they've announced that they showed a picture of Caitlin Snow, the one of the Star Labs tech.
Yeah.
She is going to be becoming Killer Frost.
Because
she does.
And Cisco is...
I don't know if he's going to be Vibe or not.
I've heard people say.
Okay, so...
Like, at work people have been saying.
Towards the end, they're like, why can you remember when time travel erases everyone else's memory and it's... In the comics, he's Vibe. He's like a vibration-powered super guy who's also a good breakdancer. That's like literally a part of his power set.
But it makes sense that when it's an LHC, but it's not an LHC. When their thing went off, and why would the people who were at the epicenter not have powers when people who were other places do? So it makes sense.
So basically, Flash is going to get his Scooby Gang.
Yeah.
Only Killer Frost is like not good.
She turns evil, but I could see that happening to her. She's a character because she's got a very analytical science mind.
Sure.
And I could see her turning much like Anakin Skywalker, where Yoda says that he sees the fear in him, the fear of losing his mother, and that's what he's worried about, is he's got that fear of loss, that he'll never be able to embrace, the light side. Mm. Much like that, I think that Caitlin's science and her, to be a scientist, I don't want to say you have to have a gray morality, but you're definitely not like one side or the other. You're definitely more balanced because you've seen more things.
If her fiance is going off and time traveling in this other show, then might complicate things. One more thing about Arrow. They've said that Oliver Queen is coming back. Starling. They haven't changed it yet, I don't think. But his new costume looks more green, more kind of like Flash's costume. Yeah. It looks nice and updated. They've announced that he will be taking on the moniker Green Arrow.
Awesome. Yay.
And
they hinted that at the end. They kind of,
because he's not going to be the Arrow.
Because she's like, maybe I'll be the Red Arrow. And he's like, oh, I already kind of told them all to call you Speedy.
Yeah, which I dug that.
That was adorable.
But
yeah.
If he's going to be Green Arrow, they've shown off the costume, and Steve Arnell, the actor that plays the Arrow, Oliver Queen, has been posting on Twitter a bunch of pictures of next season, Green Arrow, and every single comic picture he's posted has had some sort of focus or representation on the classic Oliver Queen blonde goatee mustache thing.
Nice. Ha-ha.
And so I would, right, because he's Robin Hood as fuck, the arrow, the feather in the hat and all that. So I'd love to see him come back with a goatee if he can pull it off, the actor can.
I would love for them to, now that Thea is Speedy and is fighting crime and everything, and him come back as the Green Arrow, I would love to see them go down the trail of Speedy has a drug problem.
They kind of already did, though, in the very beginning.
She had a drug problem in the first season.
She did, but that was a party girl drug problem. There could be a different,
a
superhero, like, hiding the pain of existence and, like, dealing with the demons that come from fighting crime. I mean, they could do it again.
Yeah.
And that would be very classic, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see.
And then
there's so many places it can go.
the not the scarecrow trippy drug villain guy from Fargo can come back and offer her unguent.
Count Vertigo.
Who's every time that guy's in anything, it's just like, I want to go to Pancake's house and get unguent.
Yes.
Anyway,
that was great.
Our boner was DCTV.
Yay.
Not Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
Time for five questions.
There's no boner for Gotham.
No one has a boner for Gotham, not even Batman anymore.
Two people had a boner for Gotham, and they died. They were shot in an alley.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Oh, man.
So these are some of the last answers we have from people. They're answering our old five questions.
In fact, I will tell you that we have... I'm looking, and I'm seeing that we have... just five questions left. This is one of them. So
if you didn't answer our old five questions,
too late.
Answer our new ones and do it this time, because who knows when we're going to change them again.
Yeah.
So we have five answers to the old questions, and I don't have a real name, so they're from Bale Scream. Really? Bale Scream.
That sounds like a transformer, a Decepticon that turns into a tractor.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
Bale Scream.
It does.
Okay, Bale Scream. Question number one.
Bale, like the Bale. No, I don't know. I guess I don't know what this would be. I'm thinking Bane.
That could be their real name. We don't even know.
It could be.
Bale Scream. Bale, if I can call you that. Bale.
Bale was listening to During Die Laughing while volunteering.
And has
been hooked ever since. So thanks for volunteering, Bale.
Yeah, Scream. For sure.
Question number one. What's the best movie you've seen in the last 5 days? 30 days.
I recently watched Nightbreed. It has an odd mixture of story elements in it, from a serial killer psychiatrist framing his patient, who is the protagonist, for the murders he committed, mythological creature in hiding, a love story, and the brutality of man. This is a movie I would love to see remade, being directed by Guillermo del Toro, because it has the same theme he has in many of his movies, showing the humans can be the bigger monsters than the creatures and the ghost in the world. And the movie would benefit from the set designs and creature designs Del Toro uses in his movies.
Well, I'm just going to say anything's made better by Guillermo del Toro, basically.
Even Paella.
Yeah.
I think the director's cut of Nightbreed just recently came out in the last few years on DVD or Blu-ray, and it was kind of a big deal because it was like this movie that's been untouched for so long, like a new...
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I'm not a horror fan, but I think I heard a friend of the show, Matt Alex...
Oh, sure.
Hard about
From
it.
Horror
so,
Show Hot Dog.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Question number two, who is your favorite atheist character?
First, I would say Commander Shepard from Mass Effect.
Yeah,
he is a default atheist, unless in a certain conversation you decide to make him religious. But a character that is much more interesting as an atheist is Kelsier from the Mistborn series by Brandon Sanderson. Here is a man who doesn't believe in the world's religion of the God King that rules everything, nor any of the religions that predate the God King and his rule. But he ends up using certain tactics and elements of religion to make himself a martyr in order to overthrow the God King, and not because he believes he is divine or holy. Then in the rest of the series, you see how this develops into a religion, with you knowing that there was no divinity behind the person the religion is based on. There is also an interesting character that studies all religions but doesn't believe any of them, but tries to convert others to these religions because he doesn't want to see those cultural aspects die out in the world.
Interesting.
Huh. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I think, I'm Commander Shepard, and he's my favorite atheist on the Citadel. That's, yeah, for
interesting.
Sure. That's great.
I have, I haven't had the Mistworld Sanderson books recommended to me. Way of Kings was recommended to me, and I started listening to it on an audiobook, and it was too thorny for audiobook. Yeah. I had to return the book and try to fight another day. It had a lot of world building, which is hard in audio format.
Yeah, right. It's the name that's the most fun to say in a Minnesotan accent, Tim.
Brandon Sanderson. Manders, oh. Manders. Amanda Sabanderson.
Okay, question number three. What is your geekiest hobby?
I am a heavy Magic the Gathering player. I have played
most
often...
are.
I have played off and on for close to 20 years, ever since I was in fourth grade. I play in events at least twice a week and have a huge collection of the cards. I enjoy the strategy of the game, building different decks, and playing with other people. There are so many different formats to play the game in, and it's interesting to create decks for the various forms of the game. I would agree to that. I think that's the best part of any CCG or LCG is deck crafting. I love deck crafting.
I played from... Dark Ages or Second Edition to Ice Age, and I quit after Ice Age.
Yeah.
And then Molly and I, you and I picked it up to play a few casual games. We picked it up after Planeswalkers.
Yeah, we had, when the app came out, and it made it easier.
Yeah, it was fun. We played a few games with Hedge.
I played it, once. Never got into it.
I played in a tournament once. Our friend Jordan is huge in the Magic scene.
Oh, yeah.
And I
used to write for them on the website.
He might still do.
Yeah.
But I went to a full-on fucking tournament and did a draft and everything, and it was very exciting.
We did a draft at Convergence two or three years ago.
We did draft at Convergence.
That was a good time, but time-consuming.
Yeah.
Question number four, what is your favorite sandwich?
When it comes to a basic sandwich I can make at home, it would have to be a peanut butter and ham sandwich on potato bread.
Whoa!
I'm going to say that again. Peanut butter and ham sandwich on potato bread.
Huh.
I don't know why I tried this combination, but the salt and sweet mixture is just amazing to me. I recently fell in love with the ham and pear crisp sandwich at Hell's Kitchen.
All right.
It has shaved, slow-roasted smoked pit ham, poached pears, melted Swiss and Fontina cheese on spicy, sweet, buttered, and grilled sourdough bread.
Okay.
This was such an odd-sounding sandwich that I had to try it, and it was awesome.
Mm. It sounds really good.
Hell's Kitchen is amazing.
Hell's Kitchen has awesome food.
I mean, you can get a kangaroo steak there, Tim. You can eat a marsupial.
You can eat a marsupial.
Yeah.
But I got to say right now, potato bread is quite possibly my least favorite bread.
Really?
I think it's really boring.
What is it? Because I've always thought it was a very subtle flavor. So I mean,
it's just white. Kinda,
do you like a crunchy nutty bread? You like a lot of stuff in your
bread?
Do you like white bread? Like boring ass?
Not if I can help it. I mean,
that's probably why you don't like potato bread.
I also like bread with a crunch to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Potato bread is really squishy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
It is.
It's good
true.
For sopping up gravy and stuff, though. That's.
Like potatoes. It's potato bread.
Yeah, it's potato bread's place is...
is sopping up shit.
It's what people buy when they don't want to say that they just bought white bread. It's like, oh, it's not just white bread. It's potato bread. So actually, it's...
it's more expensive. Question number five. What is the stupidest thing anybody has ever said to you about your atheism?
I have taken a weird trip from agnostic to Christian because of a girl in high school to now because of reason. Especially on topics of LGBT rights, evolution, and other science facts. And then becoming sick with other Christian to on the border of atheist and agnostic. But in high school, before I became a Christian, I had this girl I somewhat knew just walk up to me and tell me I was going to hell. Now, as far as I know, I had not done anything to her. Been involved in a conversation where I may have said anything that would make her say that. She just out of nowhere walked up to me and condemned me for no particular reason. Yeah, that's pretty stupid.
Yeah, that doesn't really...
It seems so arbitrary when it's, you know, no judgment on character or actions or
anything. But that's the belief. I mean, that's part of what they believe. You're not saved, you're going to hell. That is the only parameter that keeps you from going to hell. So it's really easy to say... you're going to hell.
You could say it to everyone, and honestly, as long as because their responses are they're going to be like, "What?" or "No, I'm not. I believe in Jesus Christ and was saved in his blood or whatever. And then it's like, so you failed. You passed my test,
you
fellow Christian.
My test,
like,
yeah.
My hellfire and damnation test.
Yes, yes.
Great. Well, those were our boners. Look upon them, ye mighty, and despair.
Yeah, that's what usually happens when I look at my boner.
and thank you for sending us your five answers. Please take a look at our new five questions on the geekswithoutgod.com website and send us your answers. We will see you next Tuesday. Feel free to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter.
See The Fringe.
We post things on Facebook and go see some shows at The Fringe.
Yeah, if it's before 7 o'clock, come tonight. Come tonight.
One of those shows should be Sound of Footloose and then leave terrible reviews. Tell Tim about how he's going to hell, but his show is wonderful.
5 stars. Everyone in the show can go fuck themselves.
If someone leaves that review, I'm going to be thrilled. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Psst. Hey, buddy. You want to buy some geeky boners?
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Okay. Yeah, anyway.